If you have a Bible with you today, turn with us over in the book of Joshua, in chapter number 5, the book of Joshua, chapter number 5. I'm going to read only three verses this morning, found in verse 13 through 15 of Joshua 5. We sure do need the Bible applied in our life. Joshua said, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said to him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Thank you for standing this morning in reverence and honor in the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Lord, you've sure been good to us. You've been good to me. I want to thank you for that publicly. I have nothing to be ashamed of, Lord. You've did everything for me. Without you, I'm nothing. God, without you, our church is just a building. We sure do need your presence here. We need your power here. And I pray now you'd let preaching be easy today. You'd let me be a blessing to the people. If it be one here lost that don't know Jesus, I pray that you would deal with their hearts. You'd draw them by your amazing grace and your goodness and your mercy. Help us now in this preaching time. I'm a needy preacher today. And I ask you to help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been in the book of Joshua now for some time. What a great book out of the 66 made up in our King James Bible. Many have said in studying Joshua, it is the same as the book of Ephesians in the New Testament as Joshua in the Old. We've looked in days gone by as Joshua 1:1, Moses died. Moses was an astounding individual. But Moses was just another man without the presence of God. Moses died. We talked about he didn't go into the promised land. The promised land is not heaven, but Canaan, or the promised land, is that God has for His children. Something above the ordinary or the norm. You may be here today and you say, "Well, preacher, I've been saved." Well, are you living in the promises of the promised land? Are you enjoying the goodness of the promised land? You see, we as a Christian, we ought to be the happiest people in this world. But isn't it amazing how the world can knock the air out of us? But old Moses, we've seen he missed out on the blessings of the promised land. And then when Moses died, God brought up Joshua. He was Moses' minister. Moses had hand-trained him, but God had hand-picked him. Therefore, Joshua took over the leadership of the children of Israel, and he got them over Jordan, and he became that mighty bridge in the promised land. Matter of fact, he told them to go over this Jordan. I am convinced that everybody on the sound of my voice this morning will have a particular Jordan in your life that would want to stop you from going into God's promised land. It may be a person, it may be a place, it may be a pain, but I will assure you, no sooner than you'll be saved, there'll be something put in front of you in your path to keep you from enjoying the blessings that God has for you. And you got a purpose in your heart to go over it. Matter of fact, it'd do some of you good to get over what's bothering you this morning. He didn't say go through it or around it, but he wanted you to go over. I've had to get over some things that keep me out of the promised land. And then he said, I'm going to give you a book as you go. And there was not only the missed blessing and the mighty bridge, but there's a marvelous book that's attached to the promised land. You know, we ought to be so acquainted with this book. He said, matter of fact, he used the word success. He said, if you would live out of this book, he'd guarantee you to have good success. Many of you, you're in the corporate world. That's wonderful. Many of you are in places that you know that you didn't get there by yourself. You ought to be glad there's a book that has guided you and there's a hand that has blessed you. And so there is simply the mighty bridge, but the marvelous book. And then Rahab was saved none other but by the blood. We talk about the magnificent blood over in the promised land. Rahab the harlot was saved. That tears a lot of religious churches up, that God would invite a harlot to come to His church. Done me good to realize that God loves sinners. God's not so much looking for good people. He's looking for bad people. People that's realized they can't make it without Him. I'm glad we have a missionary-minded God. God sent two spies into Jericho and sought out Rahab the harlot. But boy, when we see her yonder in Hebrews 11, the blood of Jesus has washed her clean, and it's mentioned the harlot Rahab. There's nothing after her name in glory. There may be some things attached to my name down here, but honey, I'm headed to a land that's fairer than day, and the blood of Jesus will wash you clean today. It's still the blood this morning. It will always be the blood. God didn't just give His Son for one generation. He gave Him for all mankind, that all mankind could be saved. Then we seen not only the magnificent blood, but we seen the muddy banks, how Joshua got them across. He said, I want you to look at the ark. And boy, when the priests stepped their feet in the water, it apart. I want you to go over all 2 million people of you. Jordan's banks was overflowed at this time. It was not an easy crossing. And I'm not making little of your Jordan today, because they are hard to get across. But aren't you glad by the help of our Joshua, he can get over whatever's got you stopped out of the promised land. And then we talked about the memorable boulders. When they got across, they erected some stones. And the kids said, now, what's these stones mean? He said, all the generations, you let them know what God's done for you. Is there any boulder set up down where you live? When your grandbabies and children look and see, do you have a story that you can tell of what God's done for you in your life and your family this morning? I'm glad I can look around at some hard things and tell my children and my grandbabies where God's got me and Miss Renee through in this life. Oh, the memorable boulders. I'm glad I have some. I'm glad our church has some. It's not always been easy sailing. It's not easy sailing this morning. For we fight the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that will never give up easy. And then we talked last week about the major business. It seemed like that he told Joshua to take sharp knives. They've just went over their Jordan. and they went over against Jericho. Jericho is a hard place. And Jericho is a place that is not easily taken, for this place of Jericho, it had walls so high and so thick that the natural man could not get over into Jericho. The walls were 90 feet high, 30 feet thick. The children of Israel, before they were to ever take Jericho, where the Canaanites dwelt, they had to do two things that God told them to do. They had to come under a sharp knife by Joshua. I'm glad there's one day that God took a knife and did surgery in my heart. I'd been baptized. I knew a little bit about the Bible. But I'm glad that my heavenly Joshua came to my house one day, put a mark upon my heart, and I've never been the same. He wanted every one of the children of Israel to receive this mark by the hand of Joshua. They had practiced this symbol, this ordinance. Therefore, they had ministered the knife upon every male child, and they received the mark. Then he said something in Joshua 5 last week. He said in verse number 11, "And then they did eat of the old corn of the land. And on the morrow of the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn in the selfsame day," of Joshua 5 and 11. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land." You see, after you've done eating the good things in God's land, then what you used to have would just never do the same anymore. You see, we're never to turn back and go what we used to be going after. But now, in God's Canaan, in the promised land, there's new corn there that we can experience. The Bible said when they ate that corn, the manna stopped. For 40 years, God had been raining manna out of heaven. It was a new day to these children. Boy, ain't it a blessing when you can get to eating on the good things in God's kingdom, that the world, the things that we come up on, is not good enough anymore. Matter of fact, I love to go to church and be able to experience the presence and the power of God. Now we come down to where they had received the mark and they received the meal. He said, "I want you to partake of that Passover before you go to Jordan and remember how God's been good to you." Reminds us of our Lord's Supper. He said, "As oft as you do it in remembrance of Him." So they had the mark and the meal, but now they're fixing to meet the man that can change things and knock the walls down that is in front of them. I wonder this morning, is anybody facing some high walls in your life? I wonder, does anybody seem like they're facing a fortress that you know that if you could just get through it, God's got something better for you. And on the inside of there, God's got things provided that you've never been able to get to. But the devil's put big walls up, not only to keep you in, but to keep you out. Oh my, I don't know about you, but in my life, there are some Jerichos that need to fall down. So just like our good God does, and I won't be long preaching, I want to show you these three verses this morning. And I'm preaching in the thought of this major business. They received the mark, they ate the meat, but now they're fixing to meet the man. The Bible said in Joshua 5:13, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho." Now there was, first of all, an arrangement. I've noticed about living for God that He will allow arrangements come in your life to where you'll find yourself alone. I don't like being alone. I don't like what I find. People say, "Well, you ought to take some time and go get by yourself and find yourself." I don't know about y'all, but many times I don't like who I find when I'm by myself. I know some of you have arrived, but I've not. And I don't really like being alone. We've got a cabin built not far from this church, and Miss Renee, she loves her bed and her pillow and her electric blanket. It's hard for her to go spend the night there. The reason I don't go more often is I don't like being there by myself. A lot of you like being alone. I don't like being alone. I can tell the way you treat your husband or your wife. You don't like being together. You must like being alone. I don't like being alone. Amen. I like to hold her hand. Now, I like the way she cooks, amen. And the house is empty without her. And you can go on and stick your chest out if you want to, friend. But if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy down at my house. There's an arrangement. You'll find out that Joshua came to pass. Joshua was by Jericho. He went down, and no doubt, I want you to think about it now, his Moses has died. Joshua's got to be feeling alone. And he goes out and he starts looking at these tall walls. And he knows God's put something in his heart, but he's wondering how in the world he's going to accomplish it. He's looking and he's saying, now God, I know you told me back over yonder that you'd be with me. And I know you said that in the promised land there's things that we've never received. But now, Lord, I'm looking at these big high walls and I'm wondering how I'm going to get through these walls. How will these walls come down? I don't know about you, but maybe raising children, you got some walls in your life. Maybe in your marriage, you've just sort of hit a wall and you just can't go forward. Maybe in your church life. Maybe in your spiritual life, you've just hit a wall and it seems like you just can't go any further. Now, he's down at Jericho viewing them walls. And I don't know about y'all, but there's times in my life when it seems like walls have got me stopped. I just can't get into maybe what God's want me to get into. And I don't know about y'all, I never enjoyed just standing still. I like being in progression in spiritual things. I can't be happy just going to church. I've got to be involved in church. And therefore, in our spiritual life, I've noticed that the devil, the enemy, will build some high walls to try to not only keep you in, but to keep you out. You'll find yourself helpless. You know, I want to say something to you young men just a minute. When you're young and you're bulletproof, you better never take your health for granted. Because when you got your health, you've got more than what you know you've got. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to reach a place in your life if God lets you give long that you'll find out that you can't do things by yourself and you'll become helpless. And when you get helpless, this is what the devil will tell you, you're hopeless. The devil loves to tell me, Brother Gerald, that it's not going to get any better and you're going far as you can go and buddy, you're at the end of it and failure's final. But I come to tell you this morning, I'm glad there's a God that He said, if you'd confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm glad there is a God that forgives us of our sin. I'm glad there's a God that realizes we are but dust. I know some of you walk in like Matt Dillon, honey, and your chest is blowed up and your arms is out wide. But you go to reaching about 50, 55 years old and you just get up every morning and see what's a-hurting now. You'll not only become helpless, but you'll get hopeless. The devil will see to it. And I'm going to say a statement some of you might not agree. The devil will allow him to say them. God will allow the devil to say them kind of thing. You know why he will allow him to say those things and do them things? Brother Bud preached about it Sunday night. To show you who you are. Who he is. See, young families, I'd love to tell you this morning, raising a family in Bowden, Georgia, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know much of a better place to live and enjoy life. But you're going to reach a place in your life sometime, you're going to find out you're going to need God. And I'd love to tell you, just because you're young, you're going to live a long time, but the Bible don't teach that. We don't know when we're going to meet God, but we know this. When we meet God, we better know His Son. We better be born again by the grace of God. We better have trusted His Son to get us to heaven. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life this morning. You may be here this morning, you're feeling helpless and hopeless. And then Joshua got down there. No doubt he felt handless. He just didn't have enough hands to accomplish the job that needed to get done. Now, there was a lot was riding on Joshua. They had seen Moses part the sea. They had seen great things happen to Moses. Now he's the new leader in town. He's got 2 million people asleep in the camp, and he's gone over there to view this great job God's put in his heart. I wonder, has God put anything in your heart that seems so much bigger than you, and you just don't know how in the world you're going to get it accomplished? I tell you what I found out in life, that there are some big walls in front of me that I just cannot do by myself. I just cannot get it done by myself. I cannot do it spiritually. I cannot do it physically. Somebody thinks, well, the preacher, he ought to be dancing off the steeple this morning. Man, let me tell you, the preacher is just as real as you are. I remember Brother Jody Harrison preached a message here in Camp Meeting. God love him. It take God to love Brother Jody. Somebody say amen. He said, I don't know why all y'all run into the preacher when water's in your boat. He's just trying to get water out of his boat. We all stand even at the foot of Calvary, honey. Without God, we'd all die and go to hell in our sin. We all need the Lord this morning. There's none good, no, not one. We've got to have Him in our daily walk. Joshua felt helpless. Have you ever felt helpless? I wonder if you ever felt this way. Well, what's the use? I bet Brother Mike, when he looked out under them walls, they was 90 foot tall, 30 feet thick. I bet the devil said, now, why are you going to try to do that? Because you know you can't do that. Well, them people over there don't appreciate you. Why, they laughing, making fun of you. But see, maybe what some of them people didn't know, God had put something in his heart. I wonder, has God put anything in your heart? I wonder, I just asked you this today, is there anything God needs to put in your heart? Maybe that he's put in your heart, it's a great opportunity. Maybe some of you got a burden for your children like you've never had. I had a preacher friend call me this week. He said, amazing thing happened at our church service. Said weeping broke out over souls. People in the church, they were so saddened and stricken about their loved ones dying and going to hell in their sin. Said the altar wouldn't even hold the people that was coming weeping of brokenness. I'd ask you this morning, is all your family saved? Some of you young people, you're here. And here's a preacher fixing to say this that's even entertaining the idea of adding a wing on the church. And I'm fixing to say this. Some of you young people, you may think that you don't need God today. You may think that this Sunday morning's enough. But I want to say this. The older you get, you're going to realize, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. And you're going to experience some walls that get so high in front of you, you're going to wonder, how in the world will I ever get over that? How will I ever get through that? I don't have a lot of sad tales. I've got some experiences. And I feel like I'm like most of you. It's not been a gravy train for me. I fell down several times. I've made mistakes. I've worked hard. I've raised a family. This is my 21st year at this church pastoring. God's opened doors for me in preaching revivals. And I'm going to tell you something. Life don't get no easier. You think, well, preacher, how do you do it? I've not found out how I can do it yet. But I found somebody that can do it with me. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, are you feeling helpless and hopeless? Preacher, I've run into Jericho. I've experienced a wall. I don't know how I'm going to get over it. Because you see, all of a sudden, you'll find out in this passage, not only was there arrangement, but there was an appearance. And I want to stop preaching here. And I want to preach the rest of this sermon tonight. I was wondering what I was going to do tonight. Now I know. Now there's an appearance. Isn't that just like our God? Look what He does. Verse number 13, it come to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. I want to say this in passing. Here's you a good little nugget. He must have been real low because he had to lift his eyes up and look. You know, I've noticed this. Brother Lee, I thought about you and I was studying this text. I get help when I lift my eyes up. And quit looking at my obstacles and looking about how hard everything is. I get to looking up and I get to thinking about how blessed I am. Boy, how blessed I am. It don't take you long when you go down to the rest home and go to visit. You'll find out how good God's been to you, friend. I've seen men my age can't do what I can do this morning. Seen young men younger than me that they don't have the life I've got. God's been good to me. I've seen a lot of families wish they had the young'uns you got. It may do you good to lift your eyes up. You may go to seeing things different when you quit looking down. You go to looking up. He lifted up his eyes. Boy, all through this Bible, Brother Jake, people got help when they started lifting up their eyes. Matter of fact, his help come when he quit looking at Jericho and he lifted above his Jericho. It do you good today. Quit looking at Jericho and start looking at the help above Jericho. Mr. Sherry, would you come? He lifted up his eyes. You know what? Nobody in that whole camp come out there to his rescue. But there was a friend walked out there to him. And he had a sword drawn. I can hardly wait to preach on that tonight. You say, preacher, won't you go on and preach? Because I done been up 40 minutes. Now, I done been at this so long to know you can't sit there much longer than 40 minutes. Ain't you glad I'm learning that? But I do want to say this. It does matter where you're looking. A lot of you coming here this morning staring at your Jericho. I've noticed this too. Y'all watch this. You see, when you get mashed down by life and you're weighted down by circumstances, boy, the lower you get, it don't take a whole lot to look up from where you are. Maybe the oh my. Maybe the reason some of you ain't looking up because you're walking too high. Reckon that'd be it. Reckon the reason some of you ain't looking up because you'd have to look down if you looked anywhere. I'm glad there's a God we can look up to. Ain't you glad we got somebody we can look up to? Some of you young people, you want somebody to look up to? Let me tell you where He's at. He's sitting on the throne this morning. He's making intercession for everybody in this building. He loves us individually. Cares about every one of us. I'll be honest with you, this is what I try to do as your pastor. I try to come around and speak to most of you, but I can't get to all of you. But let me tell you who can. The dearest friend I've ever had. Wonder would you look his way this morning? Because I noticed that this arrangement, there was an appearance. If you need some help, I know where you can get it.